Good evening and Happy New Year. I'm Jessica Marpey, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Vincent Hughes of the 7th Senate District will take your calls with Philadelphia's 100th and first female mayor, Mayor Sherelle Parker. Together, they will discuss One Philadelphia, the new vision for Philadelphia. If you have any questions at any point this evening, please press star 3 on your keypad to participate. Again, press star 3 to ask a question and participate in tonight's discussion. And now, without any further delay, let's welcome State Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thank you, Jessica. Good evening and Happy New Year to everyone. This is State Senator Vincent Hughes. Welcome to this telephone town hall for my friends and neighbors within the 7th Senatorial District. I'd like to thank everyone who's taking time out of their busy schedules to participate on tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. Remember, as Jessica indicated, if you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's conversation, press star 3 on your phone. Press star 3 on your phone. I'm going to say it one more time. Press star 3 on your phone. As Jessica said, tonight we'll be talking with a newly elected Mayor Sherelle Parker. I'm so excited, as you can tell, in the 342 years of our city, Sherelle Parker is the first woman to lead our city. Mayor Parker is a former state lawmaker, city council person, and more importantly, a dear, dear friend. Mayor Parker, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Chairman. Senator Hughes, it's an honor and a privilege, and I'm just grateful to be here with your constituency on tonight,
our constituency, because we're all in this together, Madam Mayor. You know that. We're all in this together. One Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
So remember, folks, remember, if you've got a question, press star 3. Press star 3 on your telephone at any time, and that's how we can get your question on the list. We'll do our best to get to all of the questions tonight. If we can't get through all of them, you know we keep them safe and secure on our website. We'll play them back. We'll listen to them. We'll make sure that someone from our team gets back to you. Madam Mayor, Help me with the slogan now. You know the slogan I'm thinking about. Help me with the slogan.
Yes, sir. So Senator, Mr. Chairman, and to the constituents of the 7th State Senatorial District, we have strongly advocated for what we often refer to as One Philly, a United City. One Philly, a United City. And Senator, I was so happy to hear you reference that we are all in this together, because even when I think about your district, I think people sometimes forget that you not only represent folks in the city of Philadelphia, but in our region, in our collar counties, and it's so important that we have a regional approach, and we're thinking about not just those people who live here, but those people who are stakeholders here. They send children to school here. They work here. We have to think about a regional approach when we're addressing many of our challenges, and I thank you, sir, for opening up that way.
Thank you. Well, you know my feeling, Madam Mayor. Teamwork makes the dream work, all right? And no one person can do this by themselves. We all have to support one another. We all have to pick up one another. We all have to do our own part, to make this city, this region, and this state the best that it can be. And, you know, Philly is an important contributor to Pennsylvania's economy. 40% of Pennsylvania's economy comes out of the city of Philadelphia. It is that much of an economic driver for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So having a great mayor doing great work, with a great relationship with its state partners, state senators, state legislators, city council people, U.S. representatives, U.S. senators, and, of course, the president and the vice president, all of that matters to really realize the strength and the vibrancy of the city of Philadelphia. Now, Madam Mayor, cleanest, greenest, safest, what is it now? Come on.
Together we are going to make Philadelphia the safest, cleanest, greenest big city in the nation with economic opportunity for all.
There you go. I try, but I'm gonna keep trying. Madam Mayor, before we start taking some of the questions that are starting to populate the queue, tell us. We cannot lose sight of this moment. We cannot lose sight of the history that's been made when. You took that oath of office and surrounded by family and friends and sorors as well. Okay, sorors as
yes,
well. All right.
Yes,
you know I'm
yes.
a servant. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Bless your thanks to my soror Shirley Ralph, whose poem. Listen, it was just amazing. Along with soror President Marsha Fudge. You're right. So thank you to my sorors who were present.
That's right. Give us a brief, and this is before we get into any questions, give us a sense of how you felt at that moment, making that kind of history. Tell us how you felt.
Senator, during that time, I'm looking at the audience. I'm also in my mind. I am thinking about the people who are no longer with us, those who were a part of my personal village, right, my grandparents. I'm thinking about my history as a black woman, obviously I tell people, when you live at the intersection of race and gender, your entire life, and you are a product of very humble beginnings, that moment meant a great deal. But I also looked at the people in the audience, and I thought about our city, and I felt grateful, a very strong sense of gratitude, because I've been very forward with people, Senator. You've heard me say it. Like, listen, I'm not Superwoman. That safe, clean, green, economic opportunity for all, together we can get it done. But that's what I was feeling. I know I can't do this alone, but I felt a sense of gratitude and hopefulness that people have said, we want to help. We have a stake in this city. And I know it's possible when folks say, Sherelle, we have so many challenges. How can you be so optimistic, Senator, had it not been for the likes of people like you? I wouldn't be here. And when I think about that intergovernmental collaboration and dealing with all of the challenges, knowing that we have our federal, state, and local elected partners along with the community, I have to say thank you in front of your constituents for agreeing to chair State mm-hmm. Senator, our appropriations Chairman Hughes, Chairman, Chief Convener of that intergovernmental roundtable that will be bringing all of our legislators together. So I don't care if we're trying to, build a rec center or improve a commercial quarter or to address gun violence and we need revenue, we'll all be saying this is what we need from federal, state, and local government. And I'm super excited about it. So I felt gratitude, Senator. That's what I felt a great deal of.
The important moment, especially. And I have to say this for our seniors, because in many respects, you are the dream realized, the work realized, but especially for our young people as well, to see someone that can aspire and do the work, to get to that position. You were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You put that work in. And put yourself in this position to assume this incredible responsibility. And we as we get into the questions, we cannot allow that moment to escape. We got to move on, but we cannot allow that moment to escape because it is extremely, extremely, extremely important. Madam Mayor, we're going to open up to some of the questions. Remember, folks, press *3 if you want to get a question in. Press *3 if you want to get a question in. Jessica, who's up first?
Yes, it's Safara. How you doing?
All right, there you go, Safara. How you doing? Happy New Year to you.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's a wonderful day.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. What you got for the mayor? Say hello to the mayor.
Hey, how you doing, Miss Mayor?
She's right there. What's your question?
My question today is, how are we going to counteract this immense amount of youth violence going on in Philadelphia?
That's a great question. Madam Mayor, what do you have for Satara?
I am here, Senator. I got an update.
Okay, go ahead, Madam Mayor.
But I'm back. Yes.
Okay.
Satara from West Philly is who we were waiting on.
Satara from West Philadelphia, she asked a question about what are we going to do about the youth violence.
Oh, Satara, one of the things that we've talked about was putting people on a path to self-sufficiency, and we can't do that without delivering access to a quality public education along with workforce development. So we have offered some very sound recommendations that we are working on exploring, and that is, how do we provide out-of-school time activities for our young people that they don't have to pay for? I'm talking about robotics. I'm talking about science, technology, engineering, and math programs. I am talking about homework help and tutoring. I'm a mother to an 11-year-old son. And listen, the math and senator, people hear me joking about that. I say, you know, when I was growing up in elementary school, the math was, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. But they have fancy math today, right? And so when they need extra tutoring and or support, we've got to think about our young people who don't have access, ready-made access to that kind of additional academic enrichment and or support. And another reason why that sort of out-of-school time and, quite frankly, being creative with year-round academic opportunities. No, that doesn't mean sitting in school in one classroom at a desk 365 days a year. But for young people who in the summertime who are not headed to the Hamptons or to the shore to stay for the entire summer, making sure that we have quality out-of-school time activities for them. I don't know if you remember this, Senator. I'm going back now to my days as a member of the Pennsylvania House. You were one of the first people, Mr. Chairman, who I ever heard reference something called the summer slide.
Summer slide, yes, absolutely.
The summer slide was what you would talk about, and it's what our kids would lose over the summer if they didn't privately and in their own lives, you know, have access to academic enrichment and those kind of programmatic activities throughout the summer. So that's what we want to be creative about. We want to work with teachers, parents, along with administrators and principals and traditional public and charters in all schools, even the parochial schools. I'll tell you why. I was at a place called Father Judge in the Northeast on the campaign. They had a welding course there, a welding course, and it was a diverse, it's a, you know, it's a boys' school. So this was a high school class, extremely diverse class, young people from all walks of life, black, white, Latino, Hispanic, you name it. And here it was, these people are about, these students, many of them were about to graduate with a certification in welding, and I was shocked to hear the instructor say, and many of them are going to be earning more than their parents upon graduation. Senator, I was struck. I said, what? They said, yes. So that's what we're talking about when we mention putting people on the path to self-sufficiency. And to me, that's the primary way that we will address violence. When you put me on the path to self-sufficiency and give me the ability to take care of my family, have access to health care and retirement security, and I don't have to rely on government the way that my grandmother had to rely on public assistance when she raised me, that's how you help to reduce violence. That's going to include policing. I don't want to. It's a comprehensive approach, prevention, intervention, and enforcement. So we use every vehicle that we can to do that, along with parks, rec centers, and libraries. I hope I've done my best to answer you.
I think you've done a good job, Madam Mayor. And just so that you know, I got teachers and sorors texting me already with the big excitement emoji going on. So,
you're hitting home.
Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Nikita. Nikita, you are live.
Hi.
Hi, Nikita. How are you?
I'm doing well. Congratulations, Mayor. Wishing you the most success. So I do have a question regarding the child welfare system here in Philadelphia. And just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts are on the overworking and understaffed agencies that are servicing the family.
Yes. Makita, thank you first so very much for that question. And let me say this to you. One of the things, and I want to, you know, one of the things about me, Makita, is that I don't mind sharing with you what I know that I don't know or I didn't know. With that being said, I want to tell you that it was a sister by the name of Farida Boyer, who about 6 or 7 years ago, like as soon as I got into council, had a meeting with me about the importance of mental and behavioral health providers along with social workers. And we were talking about cultural competency, right, with primarily those needing assistance being black and brown Philadelphians, but how so few when it came to the actual providers, the therapists, particularly those who were licensed and certified, looked like the people that they were serving. And she said to me, Sherelle, along with academic preparedness and proficiency, you have to make sure that cultural competency is a central part of those communities and those constituencies that are providing the services. So when I look at, let me just take DHS for example. I want to know, why doesn't the city of Philadelphia have a formal relationship with every institution of higher learning in our region to focus on the testing so that we are preparing more Philadelphians? And I'm thinking of I'm a proud Lincoln University graduate, first historically black degree granting institution of higher learning in the nation. Senator Hughes, I'm going to get you in a second. I know what you're thinking. Hey, Sadie, you know I love y'all too. But we need to make sure that we are intentional, right, about making sure that we are filling the bench and we are having as many professionals licensed and certified to provide the service, because we know how intense it is, and we know that when you're overworked, because there's so few of you, there are a shortages of social workers, not just social workers, but teachers and just therapists around, particularly when mental and behavioral health is no longer stigma. I talk about the fact that I'm going through therapy and been through therapy for a number of things in my life, particularly dealing with some familial challenges as I was growing up. And while that's the case, we need more people to have access to it. That's why the Black Brain Campaign is so important. So that's what I want to work on doing, and we want to work on the opportunity for promotion. I don't know if people picked up that that's something that we talked about. We want to know who is managing, who is leading, and who is getting access to the opportunity to provide these services along with training the next generation. So we see you, Makita. What you're saying is not falling on deaf ears. I'm listening, and we're going to do our best to work with our commissioner along with our team to ensure that the supports and services that our social workers, mental health, and behavioral health providers, that they have the supports that they need.
There you go, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much. Folks who are listening in, if you have a question, please, please, please press *3. Press *3. I'm going to say it 3 times. Press *3. That's the way to get in the queue. We'll try to get your question answered. Jessica, who's next on the list?
Next we have Naima. Naima, you are live.
How you doing, Naima?
I'm good, and yes, so first of all, I want to say happy birthday to you guys and Terrell Parker. Yay, 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 yay. love to that girl. I love it. I love it. I love it. But I do have a question. I'm calling from North Philadelphia. I work for the city of Philadelphia, and my question is abandoned buildings. People move out of these buildings. You know, no one actually goes back to move in, and the next thing you know, pipes is being stolen, doors, railings, and next thing you know, it becomes an eyesore because the homes are being tore down. Is there anything, you know, any type of result? Because, I mean, we got people in these shelters. I mean, I feel, listen, I will go around and, you know, hey, give the number, I mean, addresses to homes, you know, where though they can be saved versus tore down. So my
Naima, thank you.
Yes.
I appreciated that, Naima. And Senator Hughes, Naima just took us smack into the nucleus of the affordable housing crisis that we have
here in the city
of Philadelphia. And Naima, one, I thank you for the question, because when I unveiled my 100-day action plan, one of the things that it included was I said I wanted a top-to-bottom audit of Philadelphia's land bank. That is all of the vacant, unoccupied, city-owned land here in the city of Philadelphia, because I said with us having an affordable housing crisis and so many people needing to be housed, there is no way that we can justify having any vacant land that we are not putting to use, particularly into the hands, and I want to be very clear about this. We have to make sure that diversity, equity, and inclusion is, and cultural competency is also front and center in our equation about who the developers are who get access to the opportunity. Now, we have to do this in neighborhoods across the city. I'm also pleased to share with you that I heard Council President Kenyatta Johnson, when he gave his remarks during our inauguration, he also said that housing, affordable housing, that is a priority for him, all members of council, along with our state partners and federal partners. So, Naima, you are right. You should expect it, and you should expect your mayor here in the city of Philadelphia to have a plan to address exactly what you just said. I don't project to you that it's going to be a magic wand and we're going to be able to get it done overnight. But during the campaign, I made a commitment to build 30,000 units. 30,000 units of housing here in the city of Philadelphia during our tenure. That's the goal. Senator Hughes knows that that will include the building of new. That will also include preservation of existing, right? Because the most affordable home you could have is the one you live in. And I'm really concerned, and I have to be honest with you all about this. We have to make sure that we, when we talk about affordable housing crisis in the city, that we don't forget about home preservation and maintenance, right? And that becomes extremely important for Philadelphians who worked all their lives, own their homes, and now they may be retired, right? And so they get a piece of what they used to earn via a pension, right? But they get their Social Security. And that doesn't make them rich, but it puts them a nickel over the income eligibility guideline. So many of the home repair and home preservation programs that we have available, they say, well, wait a minute, I'm a consistent contributor to Philadelphia's tax base, and I'm not eligible for any of these programs. We've got to go from A to Z, look at all of the eligibility requirements, and we've got to make it easier for people to apply. Then we've got to make it so that the building trades, they are the skilled contractors, the skilled laborers here in the city of Philadelphia, that they are, quite frankly, training our young people to be the next generation of construction leaders and building leaders here in the city of Philadelphia. I'm thinking of the building trades. I'm thinking about the carpenters, Senator. And we have to make sure that that is available. So, Naima, it is not an easy answer. It's complex, and it's going to take a whole lot of partners to help us get it done. But I want you to know your expectation and your question is on the money, because you should expect your city to have a plan. Think about when we closed schools, and Senator Hughes and I talked about this. We needed to work on right-sizing the school district during that time for a number of reasons. And you know, hindsight is always 20/20, but I want you to think about school buildings that were once owned by the school district of Philadelphia that we could have found a way, as we, particularly now as we work on rebuilding schools, because that's what we are committed to doing, rebuilding schools and remediating environmental challenges in schools now. However, think about if we would have turned some of those buildings into housing for our children who are there now, who are unhoused in some instances. So we just have to think bigger, be innovative, and know that we have to bring every stakeholder to the table to make it happen. But Naima, thank you for the question.
That was a great question, Madam Mayor, and just so that you know, we're already working on that issue. Had our second, since your assumption of the into the mayor's role, had a second extended conversation with Calvin Jeremiah this morning to talk about how the state can be more supportive of the city's efforts with respect to reaching that goal of 30,000 units. And if we work together, if we treat ourselves and act like one Philadelphia. All right. If we treat ourselves and act like we understand it, that it is teamwork that makes the dream work, teamwork that makes it all come together, then we can make a major dent. And I have to say, it was no small coincidence having the HUD secretary, Marcia Fudge. I know she's your soror, but she also is the HUD secretary.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We drive out all those federal dollars, having her in town holding the Bible while you were giving you the oath of office. That was very important and very big message that you sent with that effort. So we full partnership on all of this stuff, especially deep partnership on this issue of housing. It is the most difficult issue that any one of my colleagues, and you were the same way when you were in city council and when you were in the state legislature, the housing was the most difficult issue to deal with. We have to build more units. We have to preserve those units. And everything's got to be within reach of someone's paycheck. Everything's got to be within reach of someone's paycheck. All right, family, press star 3. We got the mayor, the 100th mayor, not the 99th mayor, not the 98 mayor, but one of the city of Philadelphia, all with us right now, the first female mayor of the city of Philadelphia right here. I'm telling you, a good moment and a great opportunity to do some great things, and we're going to get it done if we act like we won Philadelphia. Press star three to get your question in the queue. Jessica, who's next?
Next, we have Aisha. Aisha, you are live.
Hi.
Hey, Aisha.
Good evening, Senator Hughes, and congratulations, Mayor Parker. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Aisha, for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
What you got, Aisha?
The question that I actually have, I'm actually a business owner. I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for about going on 16 years, and I own a nursing staffing agency. So we do staff a lot of the rehab centers, nursing homes, and we're actually on our way now to start staffing a lot of the hospitals in the area and the surrounding area. So my biggest thing right now is we have so many hours for, like, nursing assistants, LPNs, RNs in the area, then we have, I'm looking at a lot of people that perhaps may be wanting a job, but they're not sure, like, who to go to, or, oh, my God, I don't know how to fill out the application or what have you. So, like, my team, we actually assist a lot of the older, like, a lot of our older employees that are not, like, computer savvy. We'll have them come up to our office. Our office is actually in Newtown Square, PA, and we'll help them, you know, fill out all their onboarding paperwork or whatever, because I'm noticing a lot of people in the city, like, that are in healthcare, they want the jobs, but they don't know how to fill out the application. So I have, like, tons and tons of hours to get out there, but I guess the thing is, like, we're just trying to figure out, or we contacted, I think it was CareerLink, they never got back to us. And it wasn't only in Philly, it was like the surrounding counties as well. And I think Montgomery County did get back to us. But like in Philadelphia, we're just trying to figure out who can we go to, or who can we get the guidance to say, hey, we are a nursing staffing agency, we have the hours, you know, for RNs, LPNs, and CNAs, and we do hire brand new CNAs that are, you know, that are looking for agency hours or agency jobs. And we've had nurses, RNs, LPNs, and CNAs in contracts for some people as long as 5 years. So
Madam Mayor, I'm gonna start off on the answer to this one. And my staff is testing me like crazy. Aisha, call my office tomorrow. Ask to speak to my chief of staff.
Your soror, Madam Mayor.
My chief of staff, Tiffany Wilson. Okay? Tiffany Wilson, 215-879-7777. 215-879-7777. And we will make sure you get connected. So, Madam Mayor, I did my thing. What you got for Aisha?
Hey, listen, I want to thank her for the question, and I want to say, one, you just publicly affirmed why this thing that I've been talking about called intergovernmental cooperation and planning is essential, because that is workforce development, access to workforce development opportunities, and where is the one-stop shop? So if Clancy is somewhere listening to us, Clancy is smiling and saying, yes, this affirms why we need one place. We're here. I don't care if we're in the city of Philadelphia, if it's Clancy, if it's the state's workforce investment board. We don't care what it is. There should be a one-stop shop, very much like what we know we have. You mentioned CareerLink. I want to thank you for affirming that. But we've got to work on marketing better, right? And then we have to make sure that we have the appropriate staffing that is necessary so that these agencies can be responsive. And then we have to, oh, now here we go. Somebody is in the listening audience. They are laughing at me because I know somebody out there who's saying, Sherelle, you are a technical dinosaur, and you're going to talk about technology. It is true, but people want to use apps in some instances, just like there may be some folks who are more seasoned like me who don't use a whole lot of the technology, and they want to talk to a live person. We have to do both. We have to be highly technical and mobile app based and web-based to make sure people can access service or our services, but we also need to make sure that firms like Aisha's that are on the ground saying, listen, LPN, RN, nursing assistant, CNA, hey, we have hours available, just be in contact with us. And the city is supposed to serve as what I call the chief connector. We've got to be a chief connector, so that's what we're going to work on doing, Aisha. And we just got to put the people in place. People have asked me, what have you been spending the most time on, Sherelle? We, you know, we want to see some pictures on social media. We want to see, some flash on social media. And I said, darling, I've been doing the most important thing that I could be doing right now, and that's making sure that the right people are in place to lead our city so that we can execute and implement. A vision is good. A word is good, but if you don't have the actual people who are going to implement what you've been hearing Senator Hughes and I and many others talk about, all of it will be for naught. So workforce development, Aisha. Hold us accountable. Watch what we do. And I look forward to talking to you again. Let's come back a little later, and then you tell me whether or not you like the direction that we're going in as it relates to being the chief connector for access to economic opportunity here in the city.
Madam Mayor, once Aisha checks in with us, and we will make sure that she's connected with you and your squad, so that we can broaden your talent pool and list of providers out there who can help solve this workforce problem and get real services and help to the people who truly, truly, truly need it. When you're in the healthcare space, usually you need somebody's help. And let you know this, Madam Mayor, you need this help when you're not in the best condition, right? So we need to make sure that we have the kind of folks in position that are culturally competent, strong in their skill set, have great manners, and they can do what has to be done. And, you know, we have an issue, and Madam Mayor, you and I talked about this, we have an issue with not having enough individuals to fulfill the need. So creating and really working through this pipeline of getting more individuals into these spaces is extremely important as well. And the city can't do it by itself. We have to do this together. City, state, federal government, private sector, we all have to jump in this and do this together. Jessica, we're telling the people to press star 3. I know there's people trying to get on. Who you got next, Jessica?
Next we have John from Mantua. John, you are live.
What's up,
yes,
John?
All right, how you doing, Trudy Hughes?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy New Year to you, sir.
And thank you. I have a question for our mayor. She has spoken about community policing as far as patrols walking on the street in certain areas. I think that's an excellent idea because a lot of these young men, because they're not kids anymore, they run rampant and they have guns and they just act up. I've seen it all my life in Mantua and in other parts of the city. But what I have noticed that auxiliary police in certain areas have worked with the police departments. They don't have any weapons or anything, but they do patrols along with the police in areas. I think that would be very good because I hear the mayor talking about education and things like that, but that's for a younger group. A lot of these guys are over 20 years old, and that means that they're men. And you have to look at that a little bit differently. And in Mantua, where I live, we have four sets of security. The Philadelphia Police, Drexel, the ambassadors that ride on bikes, and Drexel. And that's what has really kept crime in our area down. So I know it's rather hard to muster all of that, but I do think if you have patrol policemen along with auxiliary, it will work out a lot better.
Thank you, John. Madam Mayor, what you got for John?
Yeah. Hey, John 1, thank you so very much. What you just did when you talked about the layers of support that you have in the Mantua community, when you mentioned our traditional Philadelphia Police Department, you referenced the additional layer, right? Because you're fortunate to have an institution like Drexel in your area, you have an additional police department to gain support from, along with those ambassadors that you have just referenced. And all of that is at the foundation of what I like to refer to as a Philadelphia's pie when it comes to public safety. Addressing it from the perspective of prevention first, intervention and then enforcement. A holistic approach that does not simply include just the police department. I was just earlier today at a very important meeting with Commissioner Bethel, along with Council President Johnson and legislators from across the city to talk about an important issue and an announcement that's going to be made. Rest assured, Don, and we mean this, that we are going to take that into consideration. We are talking about the ambassadors. Guess where you have the ambassadors on bikes? And where does my idea, when I talked about the need for community policing, where do you think some of it comes from? One, I grew up in a neighborhood in Northwest Philadelphia where we had a group called M&M. And I say they were the gold standard. They were Moody and Merchant, but they were our community policing officers on bikes. They walked the beat. You know, they rode bikes. They knew the community that they were sworn to protect and serve. And so you were able to build trust between those law enforcement officials along with our community. And that's exactly what you described when you talk about those ambassadors. As working in City Hall, I could look out of my window in City Hall and see the ambassadors sweeping up the street. So we had cleaning ambassadors cleaning downtown, and then they had the patrol ambassadors, right? Safety patrol ambassadors who were just looking out. They had a walkie-talkie, and they were able to direct people to different places or contact law enforcement. We need to have all of it. That means if there is a way that we can civilianize some positions and have public safety officers, Council President Darrell Clark and I, that was something I supported that he introduced, we can do that. But we do in every way imaginable, as long as we know that there is zero tolerance. And I've said this to members of our police department. I've said this to our new commissioner, Kevin Bethel. I support you, Commissioner. And I support the men and women who put their lives on the line on a daily basis to protect and serve us. And we've got to find a way to encourage more of our residents, okay, to decide that they want to have a career in law enforcement and protecting and serving our city. But we will also have zero tolerance. And I want to repeat this, Senator, for the 7th District. Zero tolerance for any misuse and or abuse of authority here by law enforcement, our police officers in the city of Philadelphia. So we need to do it. I'm also, and I have to give him a shout out, Roosevelt Poplar is the new leader of the Philadelphia FOP. I am very much looking forward to working with him. Everything that you just heard me say to you, 7th District, I've said to Roosevelt Poplar, to our commissioner, and we have to have a holistic approach. So we need you to get engaged in Town Watch, too. Town Watch. We've got to use technology, too, Senator. I'm probably giving you a little too much, but I want you to think about this. Do you all may remember in Buffalo, Senator, when there was an active shooter in Buffalo and a woman had to pick up the phone and call 911? And because it was the active shooter, she was whispering on the telephone trying to tell the operator that there was an active shooter. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, what if she just had the ability to text 911? She wouldn't have had to put her life on the line trying to send a message. So we need a holistic approach, support for our young people, economic development opportunities, workforce development opportunities for adults in our communities so that our children have caregivers who are able to have a home, a roof over their heads, and people who are going to work to take care of them. So stay in touch, John. Watch what we do. We're looking forward to using that prevention, intervention, and enforcement strategy to make Philadelphia one of the safest big cities in the nation.
That is a great response, Madam Mayor. The only thing I would add to edit what John indicated, you know, education and we, it's always been like this, but we certainly have to look at this now from a 21st century perspective. Education and training is a lifelong endeavor. It is not a not static. It is not just K through 12, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade. Education and training and upskilling and reskilling must be a lifelong endeavor so that everyone in the city of Philadelphia is always thinking about how can I be better? How can I learn more? How can I change my skill set, you know, and I'm like you, Madam Man. My people are laughing at me who are listening right now. How can I graduate from a BlackBerry to an iPhone? You know what I mean? How can I get upskilled and upgraded? So I am learning more, learning better, learning more efficiently and consistent with the time frame. So I believe, and I know you do as well, that training and education is a lifelong endeavor. And all of us have got to participate in that. And when we're all doing that, communities get better. All right? Families get better. Neighbors get better. And so we need to make sure that people are thinking about this beyond just K through 12, kindergarten through 12th grade, that they're thinking about this from 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, no matter what age you are, you're always thinking about how you can get better, how you can upskill your situation. All right, Madam Mayor, we got nine more minutes, because, you know, you don't just have the 7th Central District you got to take care of. You got the whole city you got to take care of. So I need to let you go off in 9 minutes to take care of the rest of Philadelphia. Jessica, who's next? Who you got next, Jessica?
Next, we have Yvette from West Philadelphia. Yvette, you are live.
Hey, good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Senator. My question is, what are we going to do about this opioid epidemic that's going on? It seems like it's getting young. The youth are getting younger and younger. And like, I have a teenager, and I'm just trying to figure out a solution to keep him out the way, to keep his friends out the way. And I need to know, what can you help us do as the new mayor of the city of Philadelphia? What can we do together to help our kids?
So, Yvette, thank you so very much for that question, and I appreciate it. Let me start with Senator Hsu's just ended. Workforce development opportunities have to be available for every industry that is thriving in the city of Philadelphia. And just because John mentioned Drexel, this whole issue of life sciences and biotech comes to mind, right? And I think about all the, you know, Philadelphia is only second to Boston in the growth of life sciences and biotech. We have to make sure that they are Philadelphians who are being trained to become lab technicians. We don't care what they do right now. They could be an auto mechanic. They could be a teacher. They could be in any industry and say, you know what? I want to learn a new skill. How about becoming a lab technician? They say you can be trained to do that. We want to make sure that there is access to that opportunity. With that being said, Yvette, the opioid crisis, I want to be clear that I have talked about a holistic approach. And with opioids in particular, or any kind of a substance use disorder and or addiction, I am not in favor and will not in any way, shape, or form advocate for what's been proposed as a solution to address the opioid crisis, and that is safe injection sites. I just want to be very clear, Senator, on my position in the 7th Council Matters District, so Philadelphians know where I stand. But rather, I want to focus on long-term care, treatment, and housing. And the reason why I say this is because I'm a very proudly raised by my grandparents, grew up in the 1980s in my community. I remember when there was a substance called crack cocaine, and it basically, you know, destroyed my blue-collar working-class black community in the 1980s. And I don't remember anybody talking about a safe crack house for anybody. So for me, for the people I've seen in the community that I grew up in and across the city, quite frankly, and in my family who have dealt with addiction and substance use disorder, they have been able to get through it and over it with a focus on long-term care, treatment and housing. And that's where this administration, the Parker administration, will be focused, along with working with our federal, state, and obviously our local partners. I want to give you an example. Think about a place like, and not the horrific things that occurred there, I'm just talking about the physical. I want you to think of what was the former campus of a hospital that we had called Byberry. Again, not the horrific things that happened there. But I want you to imagine a campus here in the city of Philadelphia that has the best academic providers, the best mental and behavioral health supports, medical providers, that affordable housing that's not 30 days. Okay, 30 days, you've got to be over it. You get out. It doesn't work that way. But imagine the focus on long-term care, treatment, and housing with a focus on making sure that the people who need the help the most actually gets it, and it's driven by those who are the best providers in the region, so that quality care, no matter your race, class, or socioeconomic status or zip code, is available for Philadelphians if they need it. But Senator, guess what? We can't do that if we don't focus on what? Insurance eligibility. What about when people are incarcerated? Who's covering those people who need the treatment? Providers can't provide that kind of care for free. They can't build the short, medium, and long-term housing that is available for free. So all of those things are a part of it, Yvette. And I know that's not an easy solution, but addiction and substance use disorder, it is not an easy thing to do. But I'll tell you, Yvette, because I want you to be clear, and I want residents of the 7th District to be ambassadors to clearly communicate my perspective on this issue when you get off this call. When we think about the open-air drug market right now that's being allowed to persist in Kensington, and we see people laying on the ground and, you know, consuming buildings and schools and public property and land, and they're openly, intravenously using drugs, you know, across that region, and our children, our babies, and the long-term residents and occupants, listen, who can't afford to leave, they've got to walk through that on a daily basis. And people tell us that if you use any kind of tools to immediately force people to not be there, and force them into treatment and force them into housing, that lacks compassion. Well, I think it lacks compassion for a city to allow that kind of activity to occur, and we not do everything that we can to force people into treatment. So, Yvette, please stay with me, pray for me and this administration, because we're going to do everything that we can to give our people access to opportunity so that they don't get addicted in the first place. But if, God forbid, that is a demon that they end up dealing with, we want to have every support and service available to them right here in our city. Thank you for that question, Yvette.
That's a very, very good question, Yvette, and it is something that, you know, this epidemic is national. In fact, it's international in scope. It's international in scope. And we're going to have to bring everyone to the table to assist the mayor in not just coming up with the best ideas, but implementing the best strategies, to make sure that Philadelphia is the compassionate place we know it to be, and helps folks get out of this addiction, helps people get out of this addiction. Madam Mayor, it is 6:59 p.m. You have been a servant to the citizens for the last hour of the 7th Senatorial District, and we're going to let you go help out everybody else in the city of Philadelphia.
All right. Thank you, Senator, for having me in 7th District. Thank you all so much. I hope to come back soon.
Oh, you know this is not your last time, Madam Mayor. You know this is not your last time. We appreciate you. We support you. And we're here. All right. One Philadelphia. Two phrases, Madam Mayor. Two slogans. One Philly. What's worse than one Philly?
One Philly, a united city.
Okay, and then greener, what else?
Make Philadelphia the safest, cleanest, greenest big city in the nation with economic opportunity for all.
There you go. There you go. Straight from the mayor's mouth. Y'all heard it. We're in this together, people. We're in this together. And I have to say, Madam Mayor, I've said this to you privately. I've said it publicly. Everybody's rooting for you. Everybody's rooting for you from all corners, all walks of life, from the neighborhood to the streets. Everybody's rooting for you, but we all got to do this together. This has been a great conversation. We want to thank our very special guest, the first one for 2024, Mayor Sherelle Parker, for taking time to speak with us. And thank you to all of our listeners for participating in our telephone town hall conversation. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you within the next couple of days. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office here in Philadelphia at 215-879-7777 or just simply visit my website, senatorhughes.com. Thank you all very much. Have a great evening. Thank you, Madam Mayor. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Senator.
All right.